Good morning. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And we're renaming this show today to the Rattle and Clank Show.
Yeah, that's right.
That's about how we feel on day seven.
And I'll tell you what, we have lots of steaming piles of goodness.
Oh, there's that line again.
Tommy came up with that. We are going to run that into the ground.
Yes, he's going to hate himself shortly. Well, maybe he already does. He puts us on the air.
He does. He obviously hates himself and us. So.
And joining us is Nick Coleman. How you doing, Nick?
I'm good so far.
So, but you're here now.
Yeah, I'm on 7 days as well, and I'm out there camping. And I was listening to what they were saying on the previous show. I was listening to that Megan Butterstraw, and I tell you what, where we are out there camping with no refrigeration, through a straw is the only way you can consume butter. You've got no choice. You know, you have to like spit it on the bread.
Yeah, exactly.
So
and pretty much consuming all the food through a straw is an option.
Absolutely correct. Yeah.
Especially after coming out of this radio station. Yeah. Now, I see here, Plane Resurrection. That's a television series, is it?
That is a television series. That's absolutely correct. It's on, what have you got over here? It's on Netflix.
Netflix, right? That's where I saw it.
Curiosity Stream. Oh, you've seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I've watched it.
That's three of you now, then.
Hey.
You're doing good.
You're up.
Maybe we can get it up to five before we're done here.
He's got more than us.
Yeah, exactly.
So seriously, it's on Netflix. It's on the Curiosity Stream, which is another streaming service, and that's available through Amazon. And then the rest of the world, it's on kind of telly. It's on History Channel in a lot of countries, and it's on a whole bunch of channels in China. And probably a whole bunch of channels who haven't paid for it in China as well.
Yeah.
That's no disrespect to the Chinese contingent who are here. I'm just saying. And weirdly enough, in the UK, we have to rely on your PBS. So PBS USA UK, or PBS America UK, is where they show it in the UK. Don't ask me.
That's funny, because we have to watch Doctor Who on BBC
America.
That's
right, yeah. Well, it's a fair swap, isn't it, really?
Yeah. So. Well, maybe. I don't know. How do you stack up?
I think David Tennant was the greatest, don't you?
I like David Tennant and Tom Baker still, of the old school.
It's a woman now as well.
Yes, I heard that. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, that's a very good... No, neither has she.
But we digress.
We do that a lot.
I'm going to be the next Doctor Who, or more maybe a Doctor What.
Yeah, I was thinking Doctor What.
Doctor Why.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
So here you are with this television series, and basically what it's about is restoring airplanes. How did you get started in this?
Good question, actually. So if we wind back to my youth, which is a long while ago, everything was in black and white then. We go all the way back to my youth.
They had television then?
Well, no. I'm talking about black and white radio.
Yeah.
Steam powered. You had to put coal on
just
it.
Just like our show.
Yeah. I was just like everybody else. I used to build the model kits and that kind of stuff. My dad was in the RAF, but he was, God bless him, he's still with us. He was mainly involved in, he was after the war, he joined the RAF. He was mainly involved in stealing things.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's a handy occupation.
Yeah, he was. He set off a sodium flare at his house and lit up the whole place for five blocks.
Wow.
It was his idea of a kind of,
Party favor.
Yeah, exactly. So I used to build the kits and stuff. We had a little airport near us in Norwich in the UK, which used to be Horsham St. Faith's USAAF base, B-24s. And where I come from in Norfolk is, that was sort of 43 to 45 was the world's biggest aircraft carrier. So you get up 1,000 feet from where I live and it looks like somebody's just sharpied A's all across the landscape. There's just airfields everywhere. Even I could find an airfield from that height.
Yeah. Maybe not the right one.
Yeah. And you wouldn't necessarily walk away from the landing, but I would find it. So I got kind of interested. And then in my very first days in radio, I was in radio for 20-odd years. So my very first days in radio, I was out with the radio car for the BBC at an event, which is actually a kind of raft race, a charity raft race in the middle of Norwich on the river there. And I saw coming out of a hotel Jimmy Stewart. So I was like, good God, it's Jimmy Stewart. So I got on the talk back to... There's a point to this. Sorry, just breathe in. There's a point.
Okay. We're all right.
You got it.
I'm on the talk back. What have we got, an hour? So I got on the talk back to the radio station. I said, Jimmy Stewart is... And they're like, who? I said, Jimmy Stewart, as in James Stewart. Oh my God, you know, go and interview him. So
grab him quick.
So yeah, I reeled out the cable and ran over, and of course I opened up with my what I now consider to be a genius line, which is, well, I'm joined here by international movie star James Stewart. James, your first visit to Norwich, is it? Well, of course.
Oops.
And that yeah, I didn't. Anyway, so at that point, I kind of got interested in the whole kind of USAF thing. Carried that on for years and years. Went through all sorts of incarnations of a job. And then when I was between business disasters, I started to do the commercial management for an airfield called Old Buckingham in the UK, which is the home of the 453rd Bomb Group. And then we started to get some visits from a guy called Morris Hammond and his P-51 Janie, and I came up with the novel idea of give them free food and free drink.
There it is.
And then what do you find? They cut every time they're coming back from any air show. Him and a whole entourage comes in. That makes my cafe busy. There you go. So I just got into it. I got real friendly with Morris Hammond, and then I got back into broadcast, which is where I should really be, and started to work on TV projects. And we had a project going that involved a whole load of European, you know, EC money that we've now come out of, and that project collapsed. Basically, it was all about fishing off the North Sea coast and whatever. And I had to sit there on a Thursday afternoon. I went, "What on earth are we going to do to make some money?" And I thought, you know what? I'm going to give Morris Hammond a call, and I'm going to make a TV program about him restoring his, by that time, two P-51s. So I did, and that's how we kind of got started. And we made a pilot. And the sales agent we did have told us it looked like rubbish. I was so offended by that that rather than taking their potentially good advice, of course, I fired them. And I got a new sales agent conveniently located in Melbourne, Australia. Literally couldn't get much, unless I was in Iceland, it couldn't be any further away. And she went on to do a great job of selling the series to History Channel. That's it. We then had to make the first series, and that's
oh crap! We got the contract.
That was the truth. Honestly, Digital Dave, that was the truth. It was like, shoot, no, we have to. All right, okay, quick. I need four more planes. Fortunately, two more of those are Morris Hammonds. But yeah, we ended up making the series. We try not to make it. That's why we called it Plane Resurrection, not Plane Restoration. Because it's impossible to make a restoration program if you have a end point on the series. Because it's like, well, when do we want to make this series? Well, let's launch it in 2023 when the plane is finished. So it encapsulates the story of people rebuilding the plane and what they do with it now. Some backstory, some history on the aircraft, and some personality in there as well.
And the trials and tribulations of restoring an aircraft.
Absolutely correct, yeah. And we try to keep it very, very realistic. We had a very, very large channel come to us, who I won't name because Discovery would be upset. And no, they're really good with us. And, you know, some of their process is that they wanted to make something that was very sort of ice road truckers and sort of throwing spanners around the hangar. Just wouldn't do it. We just wouldn't
Thank
do
you.
It.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's all right. And that's how we've ended up where we are.
Good. Fantastic.
Yeah, I just get the feeling sometimes that there's a lot of manufactured drama, and with this...
Unreal reality.
Yeah, unreal
Structured
reality.
Structured reality, it's
Oh,
called.
There you go. Yeah. Structured reality.
Structured reality, yeah.
There it is. And this is...
I mean, we've built a lot of stuff and had a lot of trials and tribulations, and I've never thrown a wrench around the garage, thank you. I won't abuse my tools like that.
No. We have gotten into some shouting matches, very much like the Tuttles of American Chopper.
No, but not that bad.
Not exactly. That bad.
Yeah, exactly. Not that bad. That's what we were trying to avoid.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good job.
Because, you know, and the other thing, too, is that these series, they teach you things. Wow, I didn't know that restoring an airplane was this difficult.
Sure.
And, you know.
Now, could you imagine if you'd have been able to follow Doc through its restoration process?
Precisely. Yeah, precisely. Yeah. The technology would have changed 47 times in the process. Even between two series, like the existing series is out there, is in 1080 HD. The new series that we're making, we're here filming at AirVenture for it, is all shot in 4K.
Right.
Even that, it just jumps on, you know, the moment you take a look at it.
Yep, the next big thing.
4K, yeah.
So what's the airplane you're filming now?
Well, it's exciting, actually. We've teamed up with the absolutely superb team at the Commemorative Air Force. So,
oh, yeah.
What a there break for us.
Yeah.
The wonderful, wonderful Kim Pardon and Doug Rosendahl, who you'll know as a pilot.
Oh, yeah.
I met up with them via my lawyer, funnily enough, because I used to have a previous business in Dallas, a guy called Spike Cutler. Very fine beach pilot.
You are spread around.
Oh, yeah. I'm all over the place. Yeah, we got a base in Dallas as well. I said base. It's a chair that's not as good as these chairs. and it's in the corner of my lawyer's office, who's also my best friend. Anyway, we get tied up with the Commemorative Air Force and with Adam Smith and Steve Brown and so on. And they basically sort of said to us, this all sounds like a really very good idea, and we'll just give you the run of our fleet. You can pick whatever you like. So to my total, my exclusive for you now, here's the lineup for Series 2. Series 3 is going to follow very closely behind. But Series 2, which we're launching in October to the broadcasters, and you'll probably see in maybe April or something or other. Series 2 is not in this order. P-51C Tuskegee aircraft featuring Doug Rosendahl. I have to say that because it's featuring Doug Rosendahl, who kind of talks like this. It's a very good impression of Doug Rosendahl. P-51C, B-17, B-24. Please donate to Diamond Lil, get an engine back on so I can finish the program. B-25, we're working with Devil Dog. We're working with Miss Mitchell. We're working with the Sandbar guys who we were filming last night.
Great.
B-29 Fifi, of course. With Brad Pilgrim, who is just...
He's
a god to me, Brad Pilgrim. And finally, we've got this little funny old thing you may never have heard of. It's called an Avro Lancaster.
Nice.
There's one more being built up in the UK. They're about three years away from flight. They taxi. Just Jane up in Lincolnshire. The Panton family. Great story. So that's Series 2. Can't tell you what's in Series 3 yet.
Okay,
I'm still making
it up. Stay tuned. Yeah. Hey, listen, Nick, we're speaking with Nick Coleman of Plane Resurrection. I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
It's been fun having you here, and we'll be hitting you up for radio lessons later. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.